in a fresh way. I remember as a young girl feeling experiencing the presence of God. I was very young. I must have been about 5, 6 years old. So I had the privilege of being raised in a Christian family. So my mum and dad, they knew the Lord. I had that privilege of being raised and brought up underneath the Word of God and in church. But how many of you know, even if your parents are brought up, bring you up in the ways of the Lord, it doesn't mean you have your own personal relationship with the Lord. It's not guaranteed. Because we all need to encounter God for ourselves. It doesn't matter if you're 4 years old, 5, 6, and beyond. We all need to encounter God for ourselves. So as a 5 year old, I remember sitting in the house, and I remember my father opening up the Word of God, opening up the Bible. This Bible is the Word of God. This is divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. Every story, every account that is placed in this Bible is handpicked and divinely inspired by God Himself. How incredible is that? To be able to hold the Bible, to be able to have the privilege of opening it up on a daily basis, knowing that when you open it up, you can encounter God. The Spirit of God can speak to you in so, so many different ways through the Word of God. So at the age of 5, I remember my dad opening up the Word of God, sharing a Bible story, and I said, just feeling really, really emotional. And I knew at that young age, I knew there was the presence of God moving on my heart, softening my heart. And I think, you know, even this morning, we've encountered the presence of God. And maybe for some of us, we feel emotional. For some of us, we feel joyful and uplifted. For some of us, we might feel convicted about things in our lives. But God is such an intimate God. So at the age of 5, I encountered the presence of God. I encountered the Spirit of God. And at the age of 6, my mum said to me, Ruth, do you want to accept Jesus into your life? Do you realise that God made you? Look around at creation. Look at the trees. Look at the sea. Look at our own body. It doesn't happen just like that. There is a higher power, there's a greater being, God. God made you. It says in Genesis, in the first book of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the earth. And it also says in the Bible that within every man, every human being that God created, there is eternity. Even if we don't know God, there is something within humanity that knows there is a higher being, there is a God. At the age of 6, I gave my heart to Jesus. I knew God sent Jesus down to this earth. He walked this earth. I knew I was a sinner. It says in the Bible that we all sin. It says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23, it says, do you know what? All of us have sinned. All of us. Even when a newborn baby is born, you can see they do things wrong. They throw a tantrum. We all have sin in our hearts. It says, for all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us can be in relationship with God. Why? Because God's so, so holy. He is holy. How can a human being that's tainted with sin enter into the presence of a really holy, loving God? We can't do it. If you look at the story in Genesis, where Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve, and they walked with God in the garden. They had a fantastic time. They walked, they talked, they were in great relationship with God. They were having a great time. It was paradise. And then we know the story of the serpent came down and whispered to them, "Why don't you try and eat that apple off that tree?" And they made the wrong choice. They chose not to listen to the voice of God. Sin entered into the world. Sin entered at that point into humanity. And they were banished out of the garden. And that's when that relationship between humanity and God broke. And because it says in the Bible, God is love, I can imagine God in heaven, his heart must have been breaking that they chose at that very moment in time to disobey God. You see, God gives us a free will. God has not created us like robots. He has given us a free will. We can choose. We can choose to encounter him. We can choose to accept that gift of salvation. We have a will, we have a choice. And at that moment in time in the garden, they were banished out of the garden. And I believe at that moment in time, Father God, that broke the Lord's heart. Because God is love and God has created you and me to be in relationship with him. However, God made a way back. God made a way back for you and for me to be back in relationship with God. He made a way. How did he make a way? Sinful man over here, God over here, and sin in the middle. Sin separated you and me from God. Sin. We all do things wrong. Sin separated us. But it says in the New Testament that he sent Jesus Christ, which is his son, he sent him down to this earth to walk. As a human being, the God-man, to walk, to show the love of the Father to us on earth. And as you heard this morning, you heard an amazing testimony by Priya of how God supernaturally healed her. God's all powerful. He made this universe. He can touch us. He can not only redeem us from sin, he can heal. He can heal us physically. He can heal us emotionally. He can restore families. Because it says in the Bible, God is love. So sin separated us. And he sent Jesus Christ down onto this earth. Because not only God is love, he's a restorer, he's a redeemer, he's a just God as well. He's a holy and he's a just and he's a righteous God and he hates sin. So sin has to be paid for. He sent Jesus down to this earth today to be punished for you and me because we deserve to be punished. We've done things wrong in our lives. But he sent Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross. I was meant to be on that cross. You were meant to be on that cross. But Jesus, in his love, in his compassion, he said, no, hang on a minute. I'm going to take that punishment. I'm going to take it all upon myself. All the things that we've done wrong in our lives, all the things that we will do wrong in our lives, I'm going to take that upon myself on that cross. So when Jesus died on that cross 2,000 years ago, he took your sin, he took my sin, and he was nailed on that cross. That blood that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago redeemed you and me from all our sin. After that, he was in the grave for 3 days, and then he was resurrected. People search, we're all searching for something. We're all looking for satisfaction in our lives. We're all searching, we're all lost. Before we come to the Lord, we're all lost. There are parables in the New Testament. One parable of the lost sheep. There was 100 sheep, and the shepherd went out to look for the lost sheep. You and me, we've been in that category. And maybe this morning you're lost. Maybe you feel you have no purpose. Maybe you feel that you don't belong. Maybe you feel you carry the weight of sin. But this morning, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the presence of God is coming to you and ushering you to a place. I can take that sin. I sent my son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth to die on that cross for you and for me. People go looking in all sorts of places for acceptance. People are lost. People go to other religions, other countries to search for different things. People go and try yoga, all these different kinds of faith, because they're lost. You're always looking for something. But here it says God is love and he created you and me. That he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for your life. So we're all sinners. We all fall short, it says in Romans 3, verse 23, of the glory of God. No one is good enough. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church on a Sunday morning, how many times you pray. We all fail. Nobody's good enough. You can do as many rituals and pray as many times a day as you can. You're never, ever good enough. It's a never-ending process. Because sin is there. But in Christianity, it's a one-off thing. You recognize that Jesus paid that price. It was a one-off sacrifice. When you look at the Old Testament, you see them working so hard, slaughtering so many animals, being ritualistic. It's hard work, it was tough going. But in the New Testament, it was one sacrifice, and it was finished. It was finished. No more rituals, no more continuously trying to be good, because it's impossible anyway. A one-off sacrifice. That blood that was tainted on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, it was pure blood. It was divine blood. And it was paid. It was paid for you and for me. I think the beautiful thing about the gospel, the message of salvation is, it's actually, it says in the Word of God, it's actually a gift. It says the gift of salvation. It's a gift. I mean, for me, that just takes the pressure right off. If somebody gives you a gift, 9 times out of 10, you're going to open your arms wide and you're going to receive it because it's a gift. And that's what salvation is. It's a gift. It's a wonderful gift. You just need to accept it. Number one, you repent from your sins. Number two, you acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on that cross 2,000 years ago for your sins. Number three, that he resurrected. How many gods have we got in our culture who have resurrected? Can't think of any other god that proclaims that they've been resurrected from the dead. Jesus Christ, he was resurrected. After 3 days, he was resurrected. And then you invite him into your heart. And that's the start of your journey. It says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you hope, plans to give you a future, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." And of course, when you accept Jesus into your heart, it doesn't mean you have a cushy life. You don't. But you get to do this journey with God. You get to experience Him in the day-to-day things. When you're tired, you ask for His peace. When you need healing, you ask Him to touch you. And when you receive Him into your heart, it says in the Word of God, it says you are adopted. You are adopted into the family of God. Once you were lost, once you were orphans, walking about, not knowing where you were going, lost, completely lost, like the lost sheep. Completely lost. But now, when you receive that gift, you become a child of God. You see, sin has no power anymore. This is totally removed. And you're back in relationship. You're back in relationship with God. You're a child, and you're the daughter of the Most High God. You've got a new identity. I'm just going to read you the story of, it's a well-known story, but it's in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And it's the story of the lost son. So Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus went on to say, "There was once a man who had two sons. The younger one said to him, 'Father, give me my share of the property now.' So the man divided his property between his two sons. After a few days, the younger son sold his part of the property and left home with the money." Okay? "He went to a country far away where he wasted his money in reckless living." So this son wanted his inheritance instantaneously. So he takes it, he leaves the security and the safety and the provision of his father's house, and he decides, "I'm going to live my life up. The grass is greener down the road." And he goes. It says here, he spent everything he had on the high life. Then severe famine spread over that country, and he was left without a thing. So he's got nothing on him now, he's got no money. So he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him out to his farm to take care of the pigs. He wished he could fill himself with the bean pods the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything to eat. My goodness. He is now wishing that he could eat the same food as the pigs. What deterioration. You see, that's what sin does. Sin is enticing, but it says in the Word of God, sin is enticing, but only for a season. And there he is, he's lost. He thinks he can live his own life and be successful at doing that. But there he is with the pigs. He's away from the security and the provision of his father's house. It says then in verse 17, "At last he came to his senses and said, 'All my father's hired workers have more than they can eat, and here I am about to starve. I will get up and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired workers.' So he got up and started back to his father. He was still a long way from home when his father saw him. His heart was filled with pity, and he ran, threw his arms round his son, and kissed him. You see, that's just an image to you and me of Father God. We're all lost. We're all been like that sin. In the mud, in our own sin, think we can live our own lives, make great choices. And then when you realise, you come to your senses, you turn back. You turn back to the Father's house. And Father God willingly opens his arms to you. He embraces you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't say, you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have spent that money. What were you doing spending time with the pigs? God's not like that, because God is love. His arms are wide open. And he says, come. Come on, come child. Come to me. Come back home. Come back home to where you belong. Father, the son said, I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son. But the father called his servants. Hurry, he said. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Then go and get the prize hat, the calf, and kill it. And let us celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found. And so the feasting began. What a wonderful story of just redemption. The arms of a loving father welcome him, the son, back home. What a beautiful picture of redemption. So Christ came to make forgiveness. He made a way for you and me. So salvation is possible. He died on that cross as a complete one-off sacrifice for our sins. He took upon himself the judgment that we deserve. He rose from the grave back to life. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it says this, and this is the heart of the gospel. Jesus says this, there's only one way to God, only one way. The world will tell you there are many, many ways to God. Mm-mm. The word of God doesn't say that. There are not many ways to God. The word of God says there is only one way. One way to the Lord. And it's only through Jesus Christ. It's only through recognizing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on that cross. And Jesus says, I am the way. And the truth. And the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is the gateway to Father God. It's through Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. And the good news is, it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What a great promise. Because, hey, we're all going to die at one point in life. There's no bypassing that. And if I die tomorrow, I have that assurance of where I'm going. My question to you is this. Where are you going? Have you got that assurance in your heart that your eternity is safe? It clearly says in the Bible that salvation is a gift. When we accept that into our hearts, acknowledge it, confess it, then our sin has been wiped away. And when we die, where do we go? We go into the presence of God. We go to heaven. But if we refuse that gift, if we decide to not take it, Then it clearly says in the Word of God as well, we go to hell, which is a place that is away from the presence of God. But the good news, why do we call it the good news? The good news is there is a way out, and there is that gift of salvation for us to take hold of. So I think this morning, I would like to lead us in a prayer of salvation. So I want us all to just bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you feel that you need to do business with God, that you feel that you've messed it up, that you carry that weight of sin, and that you want your sin to be paid for, that you recognise Jesus came to this earth to die for your sins, and you want to accept that free gift of salvation, then please pray this prayer after me. Maybe James, could you come up and pray, please. And I'll just give you a couple of minutes just to think about what you've heard this morning. That you were made by God, for God. And that he sent his son Jesus down to this earth to save you and me. Because we all face death. So if you would like to receive this gift of salvation, just repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life. I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And paying the price for my sins. Thank you for raising Jesus up.
Thank you for raising Jesus up.
On the third day. Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my life.
Please come into my life.
And fill me with your spirit.
And fill me with your spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We just want to thank you for joining us on Facebook, and we'll be back at the same time next week. I just want to encourage you, if you said that prayer, then please come at the end to speak to one of us. Or if you have any questions, then we're available to chat.